done the correction.
The one you sent to me.
No, the one I yes, I did corrections because I asked all of you, please check the minutes and correct one person this. What we're going to do is, has everyone got the agenda? Okay. I must be the only one without an agenda. But these are the, this is the draft program that must be adopted today to be processed through the House Chair. All right, so why don't we do it this way then? We'll open, unfortunately, 20 minutes late, take the apologies quickly, and then rejig this, do the minutes first. Have we got enough people? It looks like, comrade, you know, honorable ANC members have come in to assist here. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 is the quorum, is it not, Mr. Now? Here we does. let's do apologies. The apologies are late apology from the Honourable Hill Lewis, medical apology from the Honourable MacPherson. I'm not sure what the Honourable Montasha's apology is because she is back at work, and I'm not sure what the Honourable Mkongi is. Honourable Kalako, are you aware as to the whereabouts of Honourable Mkongi? He will be marked absent in 10 minutes. Fine. All right. As will anyone else not here. On that note, can we have someone to propose the adoption with the agenda by doing the passing the program before we deal with the ITED? Can we just do that small amendment? Right, can we have someone to propose? Thanks, Honourable Williams, seconded by the Honourable Kalako. And then can we go straight into this? You will see that the oversight visit to KZN 26, 27, 28, 29 takes you right into the end of Friday. Saturday, you will be leaving. We are not going to entertain any early departures Friday night unless a member of your close family, such as a daughter, son, or husband, has passed on. So there'll be no other, other arrangements unentertained, and no one will be arriving when they like. They'll be arriving when booked. Unless, Honourable Kalako, we have prior notice of this, such as before the tickets are booked and the bookings arranged. Right. You've got Tuesday then, gambling policy. I'm saying this for Mr. Naidu's benefit. Draft credit life insurance, and congratulations to DTI on the progress there and the gazetting then. We then move on to the second page, March. And I see we haven't somehow noted the remote gambling bill, and that's got to come back. It has got to come back. And I'm going to ask Honourable Kalako just to peruse this program to see when we may be bringing it back. All right, and then we'll shift it around. But just for the moment, can we please get someone to propose the adoption of this program? Honourable Williams, seconded by Honourable Kronoff. I see Mr. Naidu has pointed us on Tuesday the 9th. I want to sign this, please, Mr. Nell. And we need to ask someone. What is the date today? It's the 24th November 2015. We need to get someone to take this to Mark Philander urgently. I'll take minutes, alright? Alright, also on your little SMA, what's this called, a cell. Fine, thank you. Alright? So that's going to, and please ask Mr. Philander to expedite because it should have been done Thursday. All right, members, we've done that and we come back to you. Ms. Kruger, I'm sorry we've kept you waiting, and also especially DDG and Klumbi Peter. Sorry about that, but we just had a bit of a hiccup here. Okay. So we go straight ahead. You've got the presentation. You've got the presentation. And before we do that, let me just thank other members from other committees. Could you just put your names on into the mic for the cell, please, to pick up, starting from the front row?
Morning. I'm Itumela Musala from the Health Portfolio Committee.
Yes. Well, I know you here specifically for this presentation.
Yes.
Thank you. Other members?
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Nonhlanhla Ncubendala. I'm a member of Health Portfolio Committee.
Excellent, excellent. It shows the commitment of the health committee, the social services cluster. Thank you. And from the back row.
Morning, Chair, and morning to the department. I'm in the room, the chairperson of the portfolio committee on health.
Right, and am I right? My neighbor in the house.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Maisela. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee of Health, and I'm attending this committee.
Now, here we are. I mean, this is a real credit to your commitment. Four of you here. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. All right, let's just go straight ahead. So please feel entirely part of this process. Raise your questions and queries. Over to yourselves.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. We'll be presenting a presentation on paragraph 6, which provides flexibilities to ensure that in South Africa we're able to get access to cheaper medicines for public health purposes. This is governed really by the TRIPS agreement, which is the trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights, which is an international agreement that is administered by the WTO. The TRIPS is the most important as well as comprehensive agreement in the WTO that deals with intellectual property rights. It introduced intellectual property law into the international trading system for the first time, and South Africa is a member of TRIPS and a signatory because of the single undertaking role in the WTO. Now, if you look at the key flexibilities that are provided by the TRIPS agreement, it addresses the impact of the TRIPS agreement on access to drugs. It also addresses local manufacturing capacity and the development of new drugs. If you look at specifically paragraph 6 and the flexibilities that are provided for in that paragraph 6, it was really an initiative that was driven by the Africa Group, including South Africa, to ensure that developing countries have access to medicines that will deal with key challenges that are facing the community. And it came as a result of our initiative to try and get access to antiretroviral drugs to deal with HIV/AIDS. But the main issue is to ensure that we emphasize the need to ensure that we don't undermine the legitimate right of WTO members to formulate their own public health policies. And the emphasis is on access to medicines as well as research and development for prevention and treatment of diseases predominantly that are affecting people in developing countries as well as LDCs. Initially, there was a lot of resistance to the flexibilities relating to paragraph 6, mainly from developed countries, because they were of the view that this will undermine intellectual property protection, and it will also undermine innovation as well as research and development. But after a lot of discussion within the WTO, there was consensus that this is a necessary flexibility in view of the importance of ensuring that there's access to cheaper medicines for public health purposes. So despite the initial resistance, a Doha declaration was adopted by consensus. And really, the issue here is the recognition that high prices of medicines that are caused by patent protection are part of the grave problems that afflict developing countries as well as LDCs, and is a concern that needs to be addressed and addressed by all, both developing and developed countries. In terms of the 2001 declaration, it was undertaken during the November 2001 Doha meeting, where developing countries demanded that there's a need for reassessment of the TRIPS agreement. The purpose was one, to address high prices of medicines that are charged by developed countries and the pharmaceutical companies. But also it was to ensure that developing countries could either produce affordable generic drugs through compulsory licensing, or they can buy them elsewhere through parallel imports at reasonable prices to ensure that we address national health emergencies. And it also recognizes that because of the challenges and the many diseases that have an implication on public health, especially those related to HIV, AIDS, tuberculosis, malaria, and other epidemics, it is important that we deal with the gravity of these diseases in terms of the challenges that it presents to public health. While recognizing that intellectual property protection is important, but also what is important is to ensure that there is a balance in terms of access at reasonable prices. And the view was that the agreement in terms of the TRIPS agreement should not prevent members from taking measures that are necessary to protect public health. And also it's a reaffirmation that TRIPS can and should be interpreted as well as implemented in a manner that supports the members' right to protect public health, and in particular to ensure that we promote access to medicines for all. The declaration also clarifies the public health crisis, and that a country can have a national emergency, but also it gives the right to a country to determine what it would term a national emergency. And also there's recognition that an emergency may either be short-term or a long-lasting situation like the challenge of HIV AIDS. And the important point to note is that when it comes to the implementation of the declaration, the burden is on the complaining member to prove that an emergency or agency does not exist if it wants to challenge the use of either compulsory licenses or it wants to challenge the parallel imports. So it is implicit within the declaration that there is a differentiation of patent roles, and that it may be necessary to differentiate the patent roles in order to protect public health, but also to ensure that there is recognition that public health-related patents may be treated differently from other patents in order to ensure that there's access to medicines. So basically the declaration makes it easier for developing countries to adopt measures that are necessary to ensure access to healthcare without fear of being challenged by pharmaceutical companies in courts. In terms of the declaration, the flexibility really is around utilizing parallel imports mechanisms and in granting compulsory licenses. We must emphasize here that in terms of the TRIPS agreement, there is already this flexibility that is allowed, but in terms of domestic production. But this flexibility now allows that for export purposes, we can then utilize the additional flexibility. But also important, it allows a member to determine through its own national legislation the grounds upon which such licenses will be granted. As I said before, if a member is challenging the granting of licenses, the onus is on that member to then prove that the emergency or the national crisis does not exist. It also allows members flexibility to decide what constitutes a national public health emergency, but also to cover any public health problem. It is not limited to specific diseases. Also important to note, Madam Chair, is that although the access to medicine was the initial issue that led to this flexibility, the flexibilities The flexibility covers any product, method or technology for healthcare. It applies to pharmaceutical products, processes, uses, surgical, therapeutic and diagnostic methods, as well as medical equipment. So anything that is necessary to improve public health will be covered by the flexibility. In terms of the December 2005 decision, in 2003, a decision which gives effect to the 2001 declaration was undertaken and calls for the amendment of the TRIPS agreement. And the 2005 decision finds, therefore, its basis in paragraph 11 of the 2003 decision. So there's a legal basis for this flexibility. And it adopts a protocol amending the TRIPS agreement, and it means that members will need to accept the protocol after ratification and submit it to the WTO for it to come into force. The protocol will come into force if ratified by two-thirds of the WTO members. So far, Madam Chair, there are 86 countries that have ratified the protocol. So for it to come into force, there's a need for 21 members to ratify. So it is why it is important for South Africa to then ratify the protocol. But also most importantly, we are now preparing to go to the 10th Ministerial Conference of the WTO, which will be held in Kenya on 15 to 18 December. And there is agreement that one of the critical development outcomes for that conference should be the entry into force of this protocol, which will allow the flexibilities that are necessary to ensure that developing countries as well as least developed countries are able to utilize these flexibilities to ensure that they are able to deal with gravity of problems associated with diseases that affect public health. So what is critical is therefore that South Africa is one of those member states that are able to ratify the protocol, and we were, as I said, Madam Chair, one of the key driving countries that called for this flexibility. And maybe it is important to also explain to members why it has taken us so long as South Africa to ratify the protocol. Immediately after we advocated in the WTO for the need for the protocol, there was a bit of resistance from civil society that even though the flexibilities are there, the processes outlined in terms of how these flexibilities can be utilized are cumbersome and will make it difficult for developing countries and least developed countries to then utilize these flexibilities. And over the years, we have had engagements with civil society, including the TAC, Doctors Without Borders, and a number of civil society organizations in the health sphere, to try and ensure that we are of the same mind about the importance of these flexibilities and why it is necessary for South Africa to ratify. Of course, like any system, there are limitations to the system, and there are rules that will need to be observed in terms of how we utilize these flexibilities. But the important issue is that we'll only be able to influence in South Africa any future amendments in terms of the processes that need to be followed in utilizing these flexibilities if we are part of the process, which is why it is going to be critical that we ratify, so that once the flexibilities come into force, we can then engage as members of the WTO to see how they can be further improved to ensure that we are able to deal with the challenges that are associated with public health. Just to also indicate, Madam Chair, that the deadline for ratification of the flexibilities in terms of the 2005 decision is 31 December 2015. And it has been extended for a number of times because we have not been able to reach the two-thirds milestone. So as a result, it will be expiring on the 31st of December, but it will be extended in MC10 when the ministerial conference meets in Kenya, should we not be able by that time to reach the two-thirds majority. This is also aligned to the South African Constitution, Madam Chair, in terms of Section 27(1) of the Constitution, which ensures that or guarantees that everyone has a right to access to healthcare services, including reproductive healthcare. And 27(2) also states that the state must take reasonable legislative as well as other measures within its available resources to achieve the progressive realization of each of these rights. And Section 27, therefore, places a positive obligation on the state to accept the 2005 protocol. Therefore, Madam Chair, the acceptance by South Africa will contribute to the current number of acceptances that I've already indicated are standing at 81 in order to reach the two-thirds majority threshold of the protocol, which will then ensure that the protocol comes into force. The WTO agreement also falls under Section 2312 of the Constitution, and it states as follows, that an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, unless it is an agreement referred to in subsection 3. So any amendment to... what is required is therefore that we present it to the portfolio committee to ensure that we are in line with the constitutional implications. We have also, Madam Chair, sought legal opinions from both the Department of International Relations and Cooperation as well as the Department of Justice, and it is confirmed that this is in line with our constitutional imperatives. So once adopted here, Chair, and it has gone through the processes, we will take it through the process to UCO to ensure that we are able to formally notify the WTO. Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, what we are saying is that the protocol will give benefits.
Thank you.